Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Pastor Hose. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good afternoon, Mongi. I'm doing well, and yourself?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. I hope that you've had a good day so far.
Yes, I've had a very good, productive day, thank you. And on your side?
Lovely. Well, I've had also a good and productive day. I must thank God for that. Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor. Well, if you are joining us on the radio, please do make sure that if you want to participate in this conversation, +27 7347035 20. Those are the numbers. If you want to pose any questions or maybe send any commentary, as we are going to be discussing the subject with Pastor Hose. We're discussing a healthy marriage impact on children. Pastor Hose is also a counselor, so he's speaking both as a pastor but also as a counselor. Now, a strong family has many significant implications for the health and well-being of both adults and children. Studies have shown that people live longer, people who live longer have less stress and are far more financially stable in a healthy family environment where both parents are present, share responsibility of the household, and raise the children. But how exactly does the husband-wife relationship affect the children? And this is what we want to zoom into this afternoon. So, Pastor, how important is marriage for the children?
Very important. And let me just correct myself. I said Bongi, but it's Zama I'm talking
Zama.
To. So
yeah.
My apologies for that. It's such an important dynamic, especially considering that most of what children utilize in learning and formulating ideas is through observation. And absorbing what they see and trying to make sense in their own way, their experiences. And as such, you know, formulating principles and how important, you know, I firmly believe that the father-mother dynamic is probably the most important learning tool, or let's say learning space on how to navigate relationships. So every person has various spheres of influence that help us to formulate, you know, concepts or conceptualize things for us. And relationships, I think looking at the parent's marriage is such an important way of formulating how we view relationships in our adulthood.
Yep.
And you can just sit a little bit with any person and, you know, delve into the way they see relationships. And if you dig a little deeper, you can pull or draw lines to the home that they grew up in.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's essential for our children to witness healthy marriage, because ultimately it will help formulate the concept of relationships and navigating relationships throughout their life.
So that how does the relationship then between the two, you know, husband and wife, actually, you know, affect the children in the home? Because remember, these two, on a daily basis, you know, those days of butterflies and everything, and you know, all of those things, they come and they pass, and in settles real life, you know, challenges, work, children, etc., and very little focus on exactly how the people relate. And so you discover that people relate naturally as they actually are themselves. So please just do tell us how those relationships are affecting the children.
Yes. So if we think about the substance of relationships, I like to use the concepts of transactions and interactions. So that's basically a network of transactions and interactions on a level of fairness that takes place. So whenever we can talk about the relationship, those it's conceptualize in terms of transactions and interactions that happen between individuals. Now, if you go a little bit into the philosophy, or at least, then you would say that relationships at its core are, it's concerned with fairness, justice. And as such, when a husband-wife dynamic has fairness at its core, the way in which the transactions and interactions are navigated, it teaches the child a lot about the fairness of life and, and how to navigate that. And conceptualizing of fundamental principles that, that are essential for a functional adult or a functional human being, not just once, not only in your adulthood, but, you know, adolescence or whatever stage of life for the child. Fundamental concepts such as love, trust, truth, all of these are formed primarily in the way in which we view the mother-father marriage, or the, because that is primarily all other relationships, can disappear.
Yeah.
But your mother remains your mother, your father remains your father. We've spoken about that. And your friend, you know, you've had friends in grade one that are not your friends today. So then if mother and father is in relationship, such as a marriage, it's even more of a sphere, a lens through which a child will view relationships. So when they see two fallible persons, so as you grow up, you know, as a child, you think your parents are amazing and there's trust just naturally flowing from you functioning parents. But once you grow older and you see that actually, and you understand that we are fallible human beings, and you see these two persons doing life together, and they employ principles that, you know, they set a goal, they achieve goals. It prepares the child to navigate their own relationships with these core principles that that ultimately gives the child a chance of forming their own relationships from a full cup, rather from an empty cup, where they go into relationships to fill something that has been unfairly absent in their formulating years, or when they are seeing a healthy marriage, and we'll talk about what a healthy marriage looks like. We're not using concepts such as perfect or anything like that. We're talking about functioning, healthy marriages. It ultimately enables that child to enter their own relationships from a cup that's full, or at least, if that illustration makes sense to you, I can expound on that, but I think it makes sense that if we enter relationships from a need or a want, sometimes we are left wanting even more, rather than when we enter into relationships and, you know, there is love, there's nurture, there's trust that has been cultivated within the home, it becomes easier to enter into healthy relationships of ourselves.
Lovely. Now, Pastor, children who come out of families that have mom and dad and children, there are no stepchildren, there are no stepmoms and stepdads. It's just that, so the child now comes out of a home and they get their own family. Does it guarantee them a healthy, loving marriage?
No. Unfortunately, there's no formula to such. And even, you know, using that, there used to be the concept of a nuclear family. The reality of it is that we are getting to a point where more families are, blended families, blended families are actually prevalent these days more than what was considered in the olden days, the nuclear family, or there are different phrases that I use these days depending on which school of thought you are. But what I'm trying to say is there's no, you know, ultimately we are individuals that navigate life with our own experiences and choices. And I don't think one can put the blame on you know, if your relationships don't work out, perhaps not. Let's not go down that road. But to answer your question most or more simply, I don't think you can say that there's a formula that will ensure that your relationships will last.
Yeah.
But you can give yourself a very good chance.
Okay.
When you have thought about, or at least engaged consciously, what type of home did I come from? What principles were instilled within me as a child? You receive all of that without asking. No child asked to be born.
Yeah.
So you know, there's kind of this, you don't choose in which home you were born, but at some point there comes a choice, do I want to carry forward?
So,
I want to perpetuate that was in my home, or do I want to create something new? And I think that's where the responsibility and the accountability comes. We can't use our homes as an excuse forever for failed relationships. All of us have capacity, or at least functioning human beings have the capacity to reflect upon how you view relationships and where that stems from.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking that, you know, when the child comes out of a home and they go and establish their own homes and relationships, and things get tough there. From the angle of a counselor that you are, the psychology of that person, wouldn't it be, I don't know if it is or not, that, you know what, I've got to try my best because I had my mom and dad, and until I left home, they were together until one of them died, etc. And so much as it is difficult, much as this thing seems impossible, let me try my best to emulate my parents. Or do you find that it does not matter when they hit difficulties, if they want to just leave it, they will leave it, notwithstanding their children in that marriage? What's been your experience?
Yeah, I think that's a very difficult question to answer, because I would ask a few more questions before one can get to a determination. For example, if we use that, some would actually say, you know, my parents were together until the one died, but they weren't happy. I don't want that for myself. You know, I would rather the household was a mess. The household was constantly walking on eggshells. So although their marriage lasted, it was unhealthy. Some would say, but then I don't want that for my home. So just because a marriage stayed together doesn't mean, or marriage lasted, doesn't mean that it will necessarily instill within children desire to emulate that. It's much more the in-between that would give us direction in our own relationships. How did we work with each other? You know, did we have good active listening? Was there assertiveness? Was there conflict resolution that took place? Was those type of things, I think, would be more of a positive influence on navigating relationships that hit rocky roads than just the concept of marriage.
Right.
And I think that's also what the Bible tells us. You know, the oneness that was supposed to be within marriage wasn't something that was, when the pastor said, you may kiss the bride, now that is fully formed. It was that Echad was in a continuous tense that meant it will never reach its point. The actual perfection is in that it's also always moving forward, that it's always growing, that it's a dynamic thing, the marriage. And I think that's important for us to understand that just staying together is not what God wanted for us. He wanted us to have life and life abundantly within that that marriage. And that is far more a contributing factor to wanting to work through difficulties than just that, you know, my parents were together at the end.
Yes. Now, some believe that parents who model a seemingly perfect union set up their children for disappointment when they grow up and find themselves in conflict-ridden relationships. How can parents preserve the privacy of their challenges and conflicts without pretending to have a perfect relationship? I mean, you know, you find that the relationship was so perfect, it was so good, and their home was happy, and they hit their own relationships and they hit potholes, and and they are shocked that, no, man, my parents never had, you know, fights and disagreements and all of that. What's your view on this, and how can it be navigated by parents?
Okay, and again, we're talking in general, because each situation would have a specific... So in general, I would go as far as to say, and we're talking here about a seemingly perfect relationship. I think children need to see when we have difficulty.
Okay.
They don't necessarily need to experience the fullness of what we are going through, but there needs to be family meetings where we are able to sit down and say, listen here, the finances are not what they, we're struggling a little bit. We are going to live according to a budget. And, you know, you're not going to sit down your six-year-old child and have that conversation. It might be your teenager. And I think that's an important factor for us as parents, is to realize that it's not just husband and wife. Our children need to move with us. And as they grow up, their needs will differ, and we need to realize that we have a tool to educate our children how to navigate the difficulties of life. And what a better way than to show that mother and father does it together.
Even though
they might disagree on some, they employ a conflict resolution. How does that look like? You know, they have a date night, or they have this or something. Our children need to see the intricacies of our working in our marriage. They don't necessarily need to, as you have said there, I think we need to be careful of parentifying our children, you know, putting unnecessary burden, because what happens sometimes is father is not listening, so mother would come to the children to use the children as a way of getting father to do something, or other way around, and that's manipulation, you know. So we also need to understand that the children are the children, and us as parents can't abdicate our responsibility of functioning adults, and for our children to stand into that gap.
Right.
That's not healthy. But what I mean with our children to see, they need to see the real, real us, rather than putting up a mask or a front.
True.
But that real us shouldn't be, it should come from a healthy space. I hope that makes sense.
It does. Well, Pastor, I'm going to be letting you go. Before I do that, though, you know, I'm not sure, and please do fill us in here, that as parents, what would be our first responsibility? Would it be to model a marriage in front of our children that they can later emulate? Or would it be to just do life as best as we can? Whatever the children copy is their own. Effectively, what I need you to do is to, if you can, describe a healthy marriage. Well, if that exists, that will benefit the couple as well as the children at home.
Yeah. Even if the children don't do it consciously, once they get into relationships, they will definitely either seek to emulate or seek to distance themselves from what they saw in the home.
Right.
So hopefully as parents, we would like to create an atmosphere that our children can say, but you know, I'm going to make my own marriage. I'm going to make my own home. But these are core principles that I experience in my home that I would love to bring into my house.
Right.
Perhaps I don't want to work with finances like my parents did. I think, you know, after studying accounting or whatever, there are better ways of doing it. So that's what I'm saying. But the core principles, perhaps I want to bring over. That's the ideal. But And for parents to create an atmosphere where there's assertiveness in our talking, you know, it needs to be something where I'm able to express myself without the fear of the other person being reactionary, you know.
Yeah.
There needs to be active listening skills. Parents, children need to see that when mother is talking, father is paying attention. Mm-hmm. He's actively listening.
Right.
He's not busy on his cell phone or other way around. It's the same. Or that there's, you know, conscious conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That when something isn't right in the home and there's a bit of conflict, so the children need to be able to see that, you know, conflict is not necessarily evil or bad, that it is being hidden and you just hear something in the room but you don't know what's happening there. Let them see that there's a healthy conflict resolution taking place, that you know, is a back and forth, and we are talking through this, we are working through this together. Emotional intelligence, you know, there needs to be emotional intelligence within our homes. To be able to read one another, to understand body language, to do these type of things. And then I mentioned the guard against parentification, to put children in positions that are not meant for them.
Right.
And responsibilities and accountability for things that are not theirs to fix. Because children always, when parents, and in general, let's not use always, in general, children tend to internalize what is happening between their parents. You know, is this my fault? Was it, you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful that we are not placing our children in positions where they are taking on something that is not theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And then the appropriate positioning in the roles, to understand that there's respect, that even if father is a stay-at-home father, because of the situation, mother is working, that type of thing, that there is respect that is within the house, that there's an understanding of what each person's roles, and there's recognition for what everybody brings to the table. Such a household will instill within us principles that would rather... that encourages healthy relationships.
Right, right. Wow.
And gives you tools for one day when yours might go through rocky roads to say, but you know, I've seen this before. Or I can have somebody that I can talk to about how to navigate this, because I appreciated what my parents did.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor, completely out of time, but in the next 30 seconds, please, parting shot on this subject.
The best gift that we can give our children is to work on a healthy marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sending them to university, although those things are good, or letting them have all the things that their hearts desire. The best thing that we can do for our children that can help them in their journey of being human is to work on our marriages, so that they can one day say, but you know, there are some core principles that I would love to have in my relationships one day.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for your time and, of course, engaging us here on AWR. Blessings to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And blessings to you as well.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.